Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Friday, February 2nd, 2018. We have an absolutely huge ship schedule today, 30 vessels. The other day we had 36. I think that was the biggest one that I've ever seen. And today is right up there. I think probably part of the reason for this is that in recent weeks, the Columbia River Bar has been on yellow status for quite a bit of the time, and red occasionally, but that causes a backup of vessels where vessels can't really leave to go out of berths and can't come into the river. So we may be seeing a clearing out of a lot of ship traffic that has been kind of in limbo a little bit from time to time, or maybe not able to leave when they had first planned. So the bar is on green status, as far as I know, and so that will help vessels come and go more freely. Let's see. In our marine weather forecast today, we have on the Columbia River Bar, just to let you know about this ebb forecast, the ebb current, when the ebb current reaches its maximum velocity about halfway through the falling tidal cycle there, the waves and the can get pretty intense on the Columbia River Bar, along with very strong currents. So today, around 6:15 p.m., there's going to be a very strong ebb with 8-foot breaking waves possible on the bar, meaning surf on the bar, that any vessel coming and going will have to get through essentially the kind of surf breaking waves you see on the beach, except out in the water. So this is an issue for smaller vessels. It can even be an issue for ships if the waves are big enough. So that's why it's part of the marine weather forecast. Overall in our forecast for the marine weather today, southwest winds 15 to 20 knots, wind waves from the southwest 3 feet at 5 seconds apart, and west swells 6 feet high at 9 seconds apart. Chance of rain is in the forecast. And today we're going to be talking about something really interesting. There's a out there in the ocean around this time of year when commercial crabbers have put out their pots, there is an agreement between commercial crabbers and the tugboat industry to kind of create lanes out there where the tugboats can go so that the crab pot gear won't get fouled, they won't be hitting them and causing other problems. So we'll talk about that and why those are there and how they help keep things safe out there on the water. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. Some of it, I'll put it on the Ship Report website at shipreport.net after the show. So if you want to see all of these vessels, you can. First inbound, we have 7 inbounders. We have 8 in the Astoria Anchorage and 14 ships heading downriver and out to sea today. Our first arrival is a tanker. She's the CTG Magnesium. She's arriving from San Francisco, headed for the Astoria Anchorage, but later on, so she got there maybe around 3:30 a.m., around 7 a.m., if she left on time, she was able to head upriver and going to port westward in Clatskanie. So she's a tanker. She could be picking up crude oil, but I'm not completely sure that that's the case, but some kind of liquid cargo. Probably related to a fuel that will be going into that tanker for export. The White Coral is next inbound, Japan, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She'll be arriving there around 4:30 a.m. The Nikko Marin is arriving from China, also headed for Astoria's Anchorage, arriving there early around 4:30. The Happy Clipper is arriving from offshore, headed for Astoria's Anchorage. So the Anchorage is going to fill up a bit today. Around 8:30, you might see her there. The Columbia is arriving from Japan, also headed for Astoria's Anchorage, and arriving there around 8:30. So I don't know what these cargoes are on these ships yet because they haven't said where they're going. And sometimes vessels that, you know they're going to get, they're actually working. These are what are called colloquially in the industry tramp ships, meaning that they don't have a dedicated cargo. They're like semi-trucks for hire, and they take contracts for different kinds of cargo. So these are the ones that have to repaint their cargo holds and wash them out when they go from a mineral to a food cargo, as I've talked to you about before. So sometimes the ships go while the paperwork's in process and they're not sure exactly. They know they're coming into the river, but they're not sure exactly where they're going. So that may be what's happening with these vessels. Next, we have the Tug C-SPAN Rogue arriving from Vancouver, BC. She's headed for the fuel dock in Astoria, and she should be there at about 10 a.m. And then we have the Italia arriving from offshore, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage. She'll be there at about 2 a.m. on Saturday. And I think she may be going upriver eventually to pick up wheat. But I want to talk with you about this very interesting, the crab pot tugboat lanes out there. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of an interview. I found out about this from an interview that I did with Petty Officer First Class, I believe is his rank, Levi Reed, the Coast Guard. He's a public information officer at Camp Rylea, at Air Station Astoria. And he did a interview with me about safety recently. And one of the things we talked about was around this time of year when it is crabbing season, there are commercial vessels out there and crabbers sharing the same space, and that can be problematic. So before I play this, I want to give you a little bit of a preview of what we're talking about, because I had not heard of this before. In the late 1970s, conflicts between ocean-going tugs and commercial crabbers became a major problem in Washington, Oregon, and California. Crab pots fouled tugs as they moved between coastal ports, meaning that the lines got wrapped around their propellers and other things. That's what that word means. And the loss of gear created severe hardships for commercial crabbers, because a vessel can plow through, a bigger vessel like that can plow through a whole bunch of crab pots and just destroy them, and that's a financial loss for the person who was crabbing with that gear. Sea grant programs on the West Coast helped broker an agreement that provided navigable towboat and barge lanes through the crabbing grounds between Cape Flattery, Washington, and San Francisco, California. So that's generally what we're talking about here. Here's Levi Reed.
Something that most people don't know a lot about. It's called the Crabber Towboat Lane Agreement. Basically, what it amounts to is leave space. These crab pots are marked with buoys, floating buoys, so they can find them again. And the idea between the Crabber Towboat Lane Agreement is to leave space in between these crab pots. So if an emergency situation happens or a ship goes and gets in trouble, that these buoys and line don't get wrapped up in their propeller and make an emergency situation even worse. So being able to spread out those pots and keeping the lanes open for emergency services, whether it be the Coast Guard or another agency. If you get those wrapped up in your propellers, you're dead in the water and you're going to need rescued.
Mm. Wow.
Again, just, we know you've heard this before. We want you to apply it. We want you home safe. And that's the most important thing, is the crab is great. Everybody loves crab. Or the fish or whatever it may be that you're going after, coming home safe is the most important thing, and that's what we want people to remember.
And that was Public Information Officer Levi Reed from Air Station Astoria from the Coast Guard. He's talking about the crab pot towboat lanes that are offshore. And that was part of an overall interview that I did with him about safety on the water at this time of year. So I wanted to share with you some other things that I found out about this, because I started Googling this, of course, because it was very, I thought, wow, I need to find out more about this. So this is a cooperative agreement between the towboat operators and the crab fishermen. The tugs with tows kind of agree to stay within the lanes, and the crabbers generally agree to put their pots outside of the lanes. You can see these lanes if you look on charts, and if you Google this topic, you'll find places where you can download electronic charts that you can put in a GPS or chart plotter device on your vessel, so you can see these. But it's an attempt to share the ocean between all of these folks who are making their living out there. This lane is about a mile wide up here where we are in Astoria, and about 2 miles wide south of Tillamook. But still, that's not very much room when you're talking about a tug and tow, which is sometimes out at sea, a tugboat can be about a half a mile or so from its barge. And so it's very important that the crabbers and the tugboats don't mingle there, because there could be really disastrous consequences, say a vessel getting between a tug and a tow or getting caught up in crab gear. So it's a really prudent and great cooperative agreement they have there to kind of stay out of one another's way while they're both making a living on the water. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.